Committee on House Bill 2196. All members are present. Are you ready, Brad? Thank you.
Yeah.
Janet, could you bring us up to date on who we are on 2196?
Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 2196, we have the engrossed version, was introduced by the Department of Transportation to streamline a number of driver license suspension statutes. And most of the provisions were completely non-controversial. The Senate Committee amended the bill to repeal the suspension program for people who are convicted of drug offenses but not, that are not related to a motor vehicle. And that was a requirement put in Oregon law as a result of federal legislation in 1991. There is no, Oregon has passed a resolution saying in the 93 legislative session, Oregon did pass a resolution opposing the federal mandate, but they did not repeal the statute. Statute exists. It is used. Judges have discretion to use it or not use it. There's no longer any federal connection to this requirement. Oregon is taking care of that. So the decision today is whether to concur with the Senate amendment, which repeals the 809-265, license suspension for drug conviction, or to discuss. If it is decided by the committee to repeal, as the Senate committee did and the Senate voted to do, to repeal that statute, the bill needs a conflict amendment, and that those are at your place, the B5 amendments. And that's a conflict amendment with another bill. These amendments are not needed if the committee decides to maintain the suspension, the driver license suspension program. There's Sandy Wood from DNC is here if you have any questions, and Dale Penn is here from the District Attorney's Association to speak to the bill. I wanted to point out two things. That is that if you do repeal this requirement, all the driving under the influence statutes remain. That those are not changed. Anything related to a motor vehicle would have the current laws in effect. Also, there are laws that relate to minors, any drug convictions for minors, anyone under 18, and those would remain in effect. So this is, in effect, an adult license suspension program for drug convictions.
Thank you. In essence, we had to do it before because federal regulations. Now we don't have to do it, but can do it.
I think that's
okay.
Correct.
If the committee would not mind, I'd like to ask the District Attorney Penn to come forward, and I guess he has some concerns or comments to make about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Dale Penn. I'm Marion County District Attorney. I'm representing the District Attorney Association on this issue. And we did not track this particular statute as it went through our bill, as it went through, and so we kind of got involved late here. I did attempt to try to find out from other offices if they use the suspension order, and we certainly do in Marion County, and this would apply in a situation where someone is convicted of possession of narcotics, and typically that's going to be felony crimes, possession of drugs. This allows the court to suspend their driver's license. I think it's a 6-month suspension. In talking to DMV representatives about this whole issue, they have some concerns about, well, is it effective? And I don't think anybody knows one way or the other as far as is the suspension, does that convince people not to buy drugs or use drugs? I don't think we have any studies on that. But I think the issue that they were bringing forward originally here to the committees was the idea that in the majority of circumstances, it actually doesn't suspend their license. It delays their ability to obtain a license. And they're wanting to clarify that. I discovered that there's approximately 600 suspensions a year on this, but there's 4,000 delayed applications or ability to obtain a license. So there's about 4,600 activities a year under this statute. They were wanting to make the language in the statute the same as it appears for other suspensions, and say it is a suspension in all situations rather than having this partial to suspension and a larger portion of people who they weren't suspended, but technically they were delayed in their ability to apply for a license. Our input on this is that we would like to see the statutory authority to suspend remain in the statute. It is utilized statewide by district attorneys and judges as part of a package in dealing with narcotics crimes. And we do believe that DMV's original purpose in the bill of making it clear it should be a suspension, maybe that is a good place to go with this. But we would ask you not to overturn the suspension authority. I will tell you, it certainly isn't going to stop narcotics prosecution statewide. This is not a big issue, and if the committee, because of the timing, just feels it's best to go forward and get rid of this possibility, we aren't going to jump up and down and go crazy about it. But we do think it is utilized, and we think it is a good tool to have, and so we would ask you to consider leaving that suspension authority in the bill.
Thank you. Before we move ahead, possibly I should, potential conflict of interest. My son's a deputy DA down in Lane County. I should have called him for some advice, but I forgot to. Senator Shannon?
Oh, okay. Well, I have a question now. When you do the delays, and would you come up to from the DMV? Maybe you should identify yourself so I can ask you some questions.
Okay. I'm Sandy Wood from DMV.
Okay. She said you do the delays because those probably are minors that don't have the driver's license yet. And she said, Janet, that this would not affect people under 16.
Mm-hmm. The statute remains intact, that we can still suspend when a court tells us to suspend for a youth that has a drug violation. But delays come into play with people who don't have driving privileges at all, so it isn't specific to youth. It could be somebody who has just never applied for a license in Oregon, has an out-of-state license, and so they don't have Oregon driving privileges. So this is an unusual statute in that it separates out people who have a license in Oregon from people who don't, where normally a suspension is for people's license as well as their driving privileges.
I have another question.
Okay.
And that is that I have a problem. I don't support drugs, of course. But if there's somebody in the car and they're stopped and the driver is not, for whatever reason, and the driver is not under the influence of drugs and not under the influence of alcohol, but there's somebody in there kind of on a high or doing whatever they do, and not driving, then I have a problem or a concern. You take away the driver's license, they may be the sole breadwinner of the family, and then to go back, you know, it's a really, they shouldn't be doing it in the first place, but they weren't driving. So that's my concern, that then they will get driving was suspended, and then they'll get all of these things, and they weren't driving and doing drugs in the first place.
Mr. Chair and Senator Shannon, just taking that example that you were putting forward, if someone is under the influence of narcotics, they are not going to be prosecuted for possession of narcotics. There is no capability for us to charge someone for being under the influence of drugs. So they wouldn't be prosecuted for anything in that situation.
Well, what if they had too much marijuana on them?
Yeah. Well, now if the passenger is possessing some methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, more than an ounce of marijuana, yeah, now they could get prosecuted for the possession of those drugs. And that wouldn't be, they weren't driving, that's correct. This is some additional impact for possessing or sale of drugs. And I agree, it is a policy choice. And I'm just simply wanted to bring forward, our association would like to retain that authority. But if the committee says, gee, policy, we don't see a connection, we certainly aren't going to jump up and down about it.
Okay, now, if they're not on the job and they have that, could you take away their license to do carpentry or teach or something else?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Shannon, We we're not involved in any kind of administrative action.
I mean, it's a law. It's a law.
But the law does not take away any kind of vocational licenses. Now, that isn't to say that the licensing authority, like the Bar Association for a lawyer, they could find out, gee, I got convicted for possession of cocaine. I'll tell you, the bar doesn't suspend lawyers for having drug convictions. But it could happen. Maybe a carpentry association, I don't know. But it's something totally separate from the criminal law or what this statute would do. It would be independent kind of judgment.
More questions? If I may, the list that are in the ORS, or the administrative rule, is quite long. I can't even pronounce some of the things, let alone know what they are. But I don't want to start picking out ones that shouldn't be in there. So it's either all or nothing, I think, at this point. Okay, as a question, did you have a question, Senator George?
I couldn't get it out this morning here. And that is, do we have any records, do we have any information that the people, when under circumstances, they may not see the relationship between a drug conviction and they did not involve an automobile, and them losing their license, whether or not they even obey that? So I think that's Senator Shannon's concern, is that if a person pops a conviction, but they still need to maintain their job, is there any relationship? Do the people keep right on driving anyway?
Right. Mr. Chair and Senator George, I think that from talking to representatives from DMV, I think that was their original idea here, was that, and thoughts now, and they can speak to that, but whether or not it's effective, we don't have any study of effectiveness, and maybe this has no relationship. Our thought was, we don't know, and maybe since we don't know, we also shouldn't give a break without knowing, because in effect right now, that's what the repeal of the statute is going to do. It might be helpful to do some kind of study about that, but as I said, it is a policy choice. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, just lay it out there, and decide whichever way you want to go is fine with us.
Representative Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Penn, there are a multitude of offenses that involve driving motor vehicles for which we suspend driver's license for, and the stated purpose is to keep those people out of the car, correct?
From, Mr. Chair and Representative Lehman, from operating a motor vehicle on the roads of Oregon, either because you think that person has demonstrated bad judgment in operating the vehicle, or they've demonstrated bad judgment engaging in other types of criminal activity, and I think that's the connection, sir.
Mr. Chairman, we also have at least one expansion. We now say we suspend a driver's license for failing to pay child support, which is totally unrelated, and I believe that's where Senator Shannon's going. We also have a provision you suspend their license to practice law or be a carpenter for failure to pay child support, which is, I understand, is totally unrelated to their driving ability, correct?
Right. Mr. Chairman, Representative Lehman, that's correct. And in that circumstance, that's one of those motivator factors. Okay. You know, catch up your child support, then this won't happen. That's really where that's coming from.
Mr. Chairman, and so...
Come on in if you have comments. Pardon
me. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one thing. Failing to pay child support for a person who has a commercial driver license, there is a direct connection between their needing to drive for work and needing to pay their child support. So it isn't totally unrelated to their needing to drive.
Then this one strikes me as being somewhere in between, in that in one sense it's just an additional punishment on a person who's convicted, and as I understand, a person convicted of manufacturing or sale or possession, I don't know if frequenting is included in this definition or not. So it's somewhat unrelated. It's another offense, but it's also somewhat related that this person is probably engaged in conduct that impairs their abilities to operate a motor vehicle, and there's a safety concern. Let's keep them out of a vehicle for 6 months after this conviction. Is that a safe analysis?
Mr. Chair and Representative Lehman, I believe so. But again, I know the motivation for the state was to comply with federal law, and that's been removed. But I still think that becomes a good policy reason to retain it.
Further questions to the committee? Any other comments down here? Dale, thanks for coming up this morning.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you for being with us. Well, we have opened the work session on the House Bill 2196. What would be the pleasure of the committee? Quite frankly, whichever way the committee goes, I think either way, we do need to move this bill for other reasons because it takes care of a lot of other things in the Department of Motor Vehicles. So.
Chairman.
Griffin,
as a good representative next to me clearly pointed out that I am, you know, with this committee, I am so clearly on the left fringe, it's unbelievable. that being said, I don't know why we would take it out of there. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here advocating stiffer penalties given my civil libertarian backgrounds, but I don't know why we take it out of there. This is an additional punishment. You get popped for using, possessing, selling, manufacturing controlled substances. You potentially lose your license for 6 months. I think there's a punishment factor there. I think there's a deterrent to keep that person out of a vehicle, theoretically, for an additional 6 months after they've been convicted. And I can tell you, having represented many, many defendants, that usually right after conviction, there's going to be a period of incarceration, hopefully, and there's going to be a drug treatment program, hopefully, that you know this is simply another means of keeping these people out of vehicles and off the streets. I think we ought to leave it in there and make the changes that DMV wants.
Other comments from the committee?
Speaking from the far right, I'll go along with you, but I just have a problem when they're not driving, just like I do with taking away carpenter license, because the carpenter told me that his employer took the child care, and I know this is different, but took the child care payments out of his check and then went bankrupt and never paid the whoever the collection agency is, and he has to pay double. He was never repaid. And I'm just concerned about those people that get caught because they did have, they're not very smart, but they weren't driving. And so, and then they still, when they get out, they still do need to work, especially if there's kids depending on them. And I'll go along with the committee too, but because I do think you need every tool, but if it was my first choice, I'd take it out.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, my comment is, if it was my first choice, I'd take it out too, but the DAs need the tools, so I'm kind of like you. I'm going in there kicking and screaming in the wrong direction.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As one who is not used to sitting on the left here, I must agree with my good colleague from Coos Bay that I don't see any reason for us to pull this out. I do share Senator Shannon's compassionate concern about there are certain times when these issues come up where someone is perhaps not being treated fairly for whatever reasons. I will say, however, that there are hearings processes where you can go before hearings officers and appeal those situations, and I think that those are probably the exceptions here, and I think that probably this law as a statute as it stands is effective in accomplishing what it accomplishes for the majority of individuals who are convicted of being under the influence or being suspended for controlled substance convictions. Therefore, I am not in favor of repealing this statute at this time.
Thank you. Senator Yee, it's nice to serve on a committee with you after 4 years, and you haven't commented. Would you like to make any comment?
Well, I kind of agree that the DA needs to keep as much tools as possible, so I'll go for keeping it.
Okay. Everybody seems to have had their say. Senator George, any more comments?
Well, I am bothered by the idea that there is no relationship between the offense and the consequences, but at the same time, I like that a toolbox filled, too, with tools that the courts may deal with individuals, and they may be able to make a determination that this extends beyond just a drug conviction and may, in fact, give them the ability to say, maybe you shouldn't be driving, too. I will.
And for legislative intent, I hope that the DAs, you know, use it wisely. You don't always have to charge it, do you? I mean, it should come back. You always have to do it. They always, a person making a stupid mistake and they're a breadwinner. You always have to do this.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Shannon, I need to go back and look at this more closely, but I think we can always use some discretion, and I think it's an important point, and it's something we have a summer training, that we can bring that up. We always have a legislative review, and I'll certainly bring forward the committee's concerns about that.
Because we do have that concern that there's not a relationship. We still don't want drug use driving.
We have a script in, Senator. We had three choices. It looks like this is the one we agreed on. Probably the motion regarding the Senate to recede.
Okay. Then I move that the Senate recede from the Senate amendment dated May 11th and that the bill be repassed.
Thank you. Senator Shannon moves that the Senate recede from the Senate amendment dated May 11th and the bill be passed. Is there any further discussion?
Do we need these dash?
No, we won't need the dash.
Mr. Chair and Senator Shannon, the dash five amendments were if we were going to repeal the
Okay.
I think everybody's expressed their views, and it seems like we're in general agreement, but it's still something that they can use to...
Sure.
Any further discussion, Janet? Questions?
Yes, one thing I was going to point out that was brought up by the conflict amendment is that Senate Bill 443, which adds inhalants to driving under the influence statute, that bill did add inhalants to this statute as well. And just so you know that, in
that may make a difference for me, because if you'll notice that in that bill, it was, you could be convicted of just the intent to use without ever having used your whipping cream, sniffing your whipping cream. And what we're talking about, I know that may require quite a process to get through the conviction part. We could have a person actually losing their driver's license then for possession of whipping cream or gasoline or something like that.
Senator Yee, just a moment. Senator George, are you still a yes or a no?
May I speak to that? I'm going to say a yes.
Okay.
One night.
Are you a yes or a no?
Okay. One night we came home and there was a car in the ditch across the road from us. And we went over to see, and this guy was gone in space. And we said, you need help. And he was dreamy. And we said, what are you doing? Why are you in the ditch? Should we call? No, but we did eventually. And he had a sack, and he was spraying in the sack and smelling the inhalant. And I think it was just as dangerous because he could have gone the other way and killed some people.
But that would have been relative to traffic offense, too. So.
We have Senator Yee that has to leave, and I think we may have a constitutional problem if the chairman doesn't do something. We have before us a motion for the Senate to receive the Senate amendments date May 11th, and the bill be repassed. Is there any opposition? Hearing none. Thank you, Senator. Senator Yee is coming back.
Okay.
Janet has some instructions.
You have to sign all these reports before you leave.
Okay, Senator Yee, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.